You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProntPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today's the Wednesday show before the debate, not after the debate. I don't know if you're looking forward to the debate, but it's going to be a rather, I think, well-watched one because right now Hillary Clinton has the momentum. However, I think that's about to change because really what happened yesterday, and I went briefly over it in the show, although I couldn't play the audio. Yesterday, Project Veritas, an investigative report, an undercover type report, and it revealed what many, many people suspected, that if you went to a rally of Donald Trump's, almost like clockwork, at every rally, someone or several people tried to start fights, either going into the rally or once inside. Now, once they're inside, they're really under the, Trump is under the protection of the Secret Service, so there's very much, much tighter crowd control, so the person is hustled out quickly. But outside, and occasionally you'll see news reports, people were getting roughed up. People were getting in fights, and it was a recurring matter, and it appeared organized, but no one could prove it. And what broke yesterday was the fact that the DNC, and usually when you do that, you want deniability. So there's going to be several layers here. But the gentleman that went undercover had this, it looked like the video was taken in a bar or a restaurant, had an operative explaining what they were doing. Now, usually when you do something like that, that takes many days, months to really do, because you need to get the confidence of the people you're interviewing. They're just not going to tell you that they were doing dirty tricks. Now, I think, frankly, this is beyond dirty tricks, because when you're provoking, first, you're involved in a conspiracy to commit violence, and that's what we're talking about. And who did this organization recruit? Homeless people, people that have mental problems. Now, they would say we'd clean them up. We give them a clean set of clothes, a shower, good night's sleep, and then send them out, and they had a script. I'm pointing this out because this should come up at the debate. I'll be surprised if Donald Trump doesn't mention it. And I'm mentioning for the simple reason the press, with the exception of Fox News, is not covering this. It's a news blackout, and it should be covered because Donald Trump has been saying the elections are rigged. Now, the Democrats and the press are trying to interpret that as, on a local level, people are or will be voting for who? Dead Democrats. And that goes on. The last really, well, there have been several close elections, but the closest by far was 1960, where John F. Kennedy won by a little over 100,000 votes. I forget the exact number. And mainly because of voter fraud in where? In Chicago, in South Texas. You do have, across the nation, voter fraud going on. People that are voting for either dead people or people that are illegal aliens voting when they really shouldn't be. And they're changing registration cards. It's difficult to prove unless you can get on the inside. That's why you have to go undercover. So I'm pretty sure that this will come up. Either the moderator will ask the question or Trump will mention it in response to another question. But the charge is by Trump is the election is being rigged. What he is trying to say is it's rigged in the sense that, with the exception of Fox and talk radio, the media is on the side, what I call big lie media, is on the side of Hillary Clinton. And they're doing her dirty work. They have to, for the simple reason, she's a terrible candidate. People are not showing up to their rallies. So the strategy is to run negative campaign ads, especially in battleground states, must-win states, and then rely on the media to attack Donald Trump. And that's what they're trying to do, with, surprise, surprise, women coming forward saying that Donald Trump groped them. And I'm sure this is going to come up. I don't know when, but the last time they spent must have been 20 minutes on the second debate on that tape was released on a Friday. Now, I mention this for a reason. What do the American people really deserve? They deserve a debate where you have a clear airing discussion, if you will, of the concerns of the American people. And that is jobs. That's the economy. That's terrorism. It's Obamacare. It's the deficit spending. That's government spending's been out of control now for over 15 years. Entitlements are the major drivers. They're concerned about corruption, and voter fraud is corruption. So there are a lot of issues that either we've heard very little about, and before I forget, the illegal invasion of this country by 30 to 50 million minimum, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 million, because this invasion keeps continuing every day. It's just getting worse and worse. And that threatens all Americans because they're cheap, compliant labor. And the Democratic Party, along with the donor class, the owners of America are for it. So immigration needs to really be discussed. And you do have a very sharp difference between Hillary Clinton, who's very much for open borders. She might try to deny it. But you see, I have a long memory. And Ronald Reagan agreed to amnesty for the illegal aliens that were here. And it was expected at the time, and this was in the mid-80s, 85, 86, as I recall. At the time, it was expected about 1 million people were here illegally, 1 million. It turned out that 3 million, nearly 3 million, got citizenship. When we say amnesty, a better way to say that is citizenship, because the people were here illegally and had stayed in the country for years. But part of the deal or the agreement was that we were going to secure the borders. That never was fully implemented, because if it were, we wouldn't be discussing it at all, period. Yet 30 years later, we're discussing it again. But this time, the numbers are significantly larger. So Donald Trump needs to definitely raise this, because it has, first of all, an impact on what? Jobs. And the fact that our wages of the American people, household wages, have been stagnant for over 15 years. And the reason is quite simple. When you have 30 to 50 million illegal aliens, and I think, frankly, more now, the more I think about it, and this has been going on for 15, 20 years at roughly a clip of about 3 million a year, and they're not all coming over the U.S.-Mexican border. Many are flying here. I'd say 40 to 50% of the problem is people flying here legally under a visa as a student, a tourist, a businessman. There's a whole range of visas, and then just simply staying here and working here and living here. All that is a crime, because when you get a visa, you promise to go home after a certain date, and they're not going home. So that's a good portion of the problem. The other is people breaking in the country, primarily over the U.S.-Mexican border, but that's not the entire situation. And it's not just from Mexico. While the majority are from Mexico, there's no doubts about that. You have people from Central America, South America, and the Caribbean. It's a jobs issue, because that means you have Americans that could have been doing those jobs that are not doing the jobs. And it's not a situation that Americans don't want to do the jobs. Because in the past, the present, and in the future, Americans will do the jobs. But what employers are doing is making it less attractive for Americans to take the jobs, because they pay rock-bottom rates. A lot of it's day labor. Most of it is entry-level type work, manual labor. For example, I was driving to the college, and they're doing some work in my apartment complex, putting in some lights and fixing the outside of the building. It's under new ownership. And I noticed both yesterday and today, you had a crew of people doing it. I dare say they're all illegal immigrants, are illegal aliens. Didn't speak a word of English, because you can just listen to them talk. And those are all jobs that in the past Americans would be doing. And they do compete with Hispanic citizens. A lot of construction work today, not all of it, but a lot of construction work today, who do they hire? They hire illegal aliens. The same is true with maintenance type work, and that's what I was talking about, as well as waitresses, maids, cooks, short order cooks, busboys in hotels, and all that, again, they're still American citizens doing those jobs, but they're competing with who? Illegal aliens. So that definitely flattens the wage. I'm not surprised wages are flat. As a matter of fact, for many years, they actually were declining. And not all of the 30 to 50 million are working. Many are children. Many are mothers or the significant others of the illegals that are here. But at least 20 million and more like 30 million are working here. That's a lot of people, folks. And who wants this? The owners of these businesses want it. Many of them are the owners of very large corporations, the executives, founders of these companies. They want cheap, underline that, but compliant labor. In other words, they very much are in control. And that excludes who? It excludes blacks. This invasion does not help either black citizens of this country nor Hispanic citizens of this country. It directly hurts them. It also hurts low-income whites and primarily the young. And you can look in about a dozen states. Texas is one of them. California is another. Florida. I'm not going to list them, but there are some states you don't see this. But in at least a dozen, you do. And that you have cities like Dallas are sanctuary cities. They don't enforce immigration law, and that's what you need to understand. Who enforces immigration law? Federal government. It's really not enforcing it. And the American people are tired of this. They feel betrayed, double-crossed by both the Democratic and Republican Party. And that's why I say you need to talk about the job issue and relate it to immigration, especially illegal immigration, or what I call the illegal alien invasion. That's alien is the correct technical legal term, and that's been in place for decades, and it's used by other countries. They're illegal because they did not submit their papers for inspection when they entered the country. Now, I call them all criminal aliens. Why? Okay, breaking the country in the United States, misdemeanor. It's usually a fine, and you're sent back home. And most people will sign a piece of paper, and they'll go right home if they're caught at the border. The problem is enforcement of immigration law, not at the border, but within the interior of the United States. Dallas, although in Texas, is in central Texas, it's far from the border. But we have illegal aliens working on this college campus, on my apartment complex, all over Dallas. And that makes it definitely difficult, not impossible, but definitely difficult, because you have in major cities tens of thousands, some cases probably over 100,000 or more, people that are in the labor force that shouldn't be here. In other countries, take Mexico, for example, they really enforce the law. Many times you'll sit in a jail and you're going home. And that's the way it should be under existing immigration law. Be aware, if anyone says comprehensive immigration reform or common sense immigration reform, what they're talking about is giving citizenship to the illegals that are here. The American people don't want that. There's been poll after poll after poll after poll, and the question's asked different ways. The American people support legal immigration. The only argument there is how much. And there is an argument there, because the Republican Party, with the donor class, the people that make the big campaign contributions, they want the numbers raised from roughly 1 million today, a little over 1 million, to 2 million, and then 3 million per year. And if you do that, let's say you do 3 million for 10, that's 30 million. And in 20 years, that's 60 million. That's another backdoor way, if you will, of legalizing the people that are here. And what the Republican leadership, at least in the past, is favored is what's called touchback amnesty, where if you're working here and have been working here for a number of years, you have to go home. That's the touchback. And then shortly thereafter, reapply, get in line, and you'll get a visa to come back, and you'll get a what's called a work permit, an employment authorization document. Looks like a driver's license. So you take a couple of weeks, maybe a month, from whatever country you came from. Mexico, Central American countries is the primary one, but it's all over. There are dozens of countries. And then you can come back if you get apply and receive a work permit, an employment authorization document, like a driver's license, and it has a date when it expires, it has your picture, and then you can live and work here. That's the first step. The second step is you get a green card. That's a permanent legal residence. And then the third step is you get citizenship. That's the so-called pathway to citizenship. And that's what we're talking about. And what makes the American people mad is they're concerned about jobs. They're concerned about their wages. And they're seeing what's going on. You cannot avoid it. It's in your face every day, especially in Texas, but in other states as well. So you have a lot of Americans that are upset, angry. They feel double-crossed by both political parties. That's why they're leaving both political parties. And Hillary Clinton is for open borders. Now, she'll deny that, but she wants to continue what Barack Obama has been doing, and he has been encouraging even more illegal aliens to come here. And the states have taken them to court, and we're waiting for a decision. And Hillary Clinton has made it very, very clear that she would continue and be more aggressive in attracting both refugees from the Middle East, where terrorism is going on, as well as people that are coming here through visas or crossing the U.S.-Mexican border. What's wrong with that? That's not what the American people want. And that affects everybody. And you need to be aware of it. Because many Americans aren't. Because they don't pay attention to politics. That's unfortunate, but that's reality. And you have to deal with reality first. And I think the so-called millennials, people born between 1980 and 2000, they're bearing the brunt of this. Because many of them either graduate from high school or drop out from high school, try to get employment, and have tremendous difficulty finding employment. They want to work, but they now find, especially if you're in a sanctuary city or a state where there's a high concentration of illegals, it's more difficult. Not impossible, it's more difficult. See, I can remember when I was going through college, I had to look for a summer job. They weren't falling out of the trees and hit me over the head, but you could get them, and they were available, and you had to hustle because you had competition. But not from illegal aliens, from American citizens. That's the way it's always been. Labor market, especially for new entrants to the labor market, has always been competitive. And frankly, that's the way it should be. I'm all for competition. I'm not a big advocate of competition. And if you don't like where you're working or you don't like where you get how much you're getting paid, then improve yourself, your skills, and find employment elsewhere. That's the free enterprise market capitalist system. So I hope this debate will get on the issues that concern America, and jobs and the economy are number one and two, as is immigration. But immigration is not just a jobs issue. It is very much a drug and crime issue. And we have a serious crisis in this country, all over the United States, with people overdosing on heroin coming from Mexico. We need to start enforcing immigration laws and get the people that are selling this, distributing this drug and other drugs, it's not just heroin, stopping that. And that begins with arresting, putting in jail the criminals, and then send them back to their country of origin. And then we have a terrorist dimension to the illegal alien invasion. And I'm totally against, and it's going on right now, bringing in tens of thousands of refugees from the Middle East. Now, the first thing they'll say, they're women and children. Many of them are. They're families. But there's simply, absolutely no way to vet these people, to check them out. And they're primarily Muslim. They believe in Sharia law. And they are attracted, unfortunately, to radical Islamic terrorism. So even if it's a small percent, the more numbers or the more people that come here, you're guaranteeing a future terrorist attacks in the upcoming years. It'll be a festering problem because they simply don't assimilate as well as other groups. All of this needs to be discussed because jobs, the economy, security, terrorism, drugs, crime, that's what the American people are concerned with. And the reason I'm emphasizing this, I don't care about what Donald Trump said 10 years ago on a bus that was inappropriate. I'd be the first one to say it. It isn't inappropriate. And in normal situations, that would be a disqualifier, but he's already won. What's going on here? And this is something that I think is missed. The Democratic Party, many years ago, was taken over by leftists, beyond just left to center. I'm talking hardcore leftists, socialists. socialist, communist, welfare status. They're collectivists is the most broader term, and they're different types. So we have one political party in this nation that's for big government, and they want to make it bigger and bigger, and they want to control you and me. It's about power and controlling you. And they have had control of this government for at least 8 years. And it's critical for them to consolidate their power to get Hillary Clinton elected. And she is a progressive. She's been part of this movement. She's a student of Saul Alinsky and the tactics that Saul Alinsky uses and as described in Rules of Radicals. I've given fairly recently a show on that. So if you're unfamiliar with the Rules of Radicals, Saul Alinsky, either Google it or listen to those shows. I bring that up because who are they targeting? Obviously, Donald Trump. Now, a lot of people were surprised that Donald Trump got the nomination. I wasn't. I will never underestimate Donald Trump. But I saw what was going on. And the media, big lie media, has a justified reputation of doing what? They will build people up, especially if they're agreeing with them or opposing what they're against, such as the Republican Party. So the media gave a lot of opportunities for Donald Trump to get his message out. Do you think that was an accident? See, I don't. The Democratic National Committee, together with Hillary Clinton, they do what's called opposition research on the candidates that are most likely will be the candidate of the Republican Party. And there's some candidates they don't want that are strong, and they have very little leverage with it, or in other words, dirt, and could be a serious challenge to Hillary Clinton. Let me give you three. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, Senator Marco Rubio of Florida, Governor Scott Walker of Wisconsin, and let me give you another one, Senator Rand Paul. They really didn't want Marco Rubio or Ted Cruz. Really, they didn't want any of those four. They wanted, in their mind, the weakest candidate from their point of view. Why? They've done opposition research. Your opposition in this case is the Republican Party and the candidates or likely candidates for president. What they were looking for is a candidate that they had leverage or dirt on, that they could really embarrass. They had blackmail material. And if they didn't, they could make it up. And that's what you need to understand. And they're going to do this no matter who the candidate is. And if he's squeaky clean and bright, such as Mitt Romney, they'll make it up. And they'll launch a negative ad campaign, and that's exactly what they did. You got to remember, if it weren't for Donald Trump, it would be somebody else that they'd be doing this to. Some are easy targets, and I frankly think Donald Trump is an easy target compared to people that are squeaky clean and are impressive. Now, don't get me wrong. I was not for Mitt Romney. I'm not a Republican or Democrat. I believe for limited government. I'm a classical liberal, and I've given up on both political parties. And the problem of both political parties, they have ignored their voter base. They're no longer concerned with what the American people are concerned about. And first and foremost, it's jobs and having a good paying job with benefits. Yes, most Americans what they want, and that enables to have a house, a home, a family, and enables them to send their children to college to get a good education. So education is important. They're also very concerned about the quality of the education they're getting from K through 12. And they need to be concerned about that because that quality has gone down, down, and down as the standards have gone down, down, and down. And it's even worse in your poorer neighborhoods, primarily black and Hispanic. You're getting a terrible education. So Donald Trump was the candidate that the Democratic Party truly wanted to run against. They really did not want a Marco Rubio. They certainly did not want Ted Cruz. And the other, there's several. So the media went along with Donald Trump. They gave him a lot of exposure. I thought he was overexposed, quite frankly. But it was deliberate. Build him up, and then they're going to tear him down. And that's where we are right now. They're tearing him down. And keep in mind, obviously, if they have accumulated and have blackmail material, they're going to use it. But if they don't, they'll make it up. And see, that's what Trump is trying to say. I don't know these people. Either they're doing it for publicity or they're doing it for the money. But what makes Donald Trump a perfect candidate in that regard, he does have a reputation with the ladies. So they were rubbing their hands because they thought, wow, we can beat Donald Trump going away. Donald Trump's going to be easy. And that's where I thought they really underestimated him. Why? I call many of the Republican leaders today rollover Republicans. That's an insulting term, by the way. If the Democrats say rollover, the rollover Republicans say, well, how many times do you want me to roll over? What I'm trying to say is they don't have a backbone and they don't stand up to the Democratic Party. They're no longer truly a party of opposition. Now, they'll deny that. That's to be expected. But that's, again, another reason Donald Trump is the candidate, because the Republican Party and their supporters and voters came out in 2010, 2012, 2014 and gave him control of the House and the Senate. They've yet to balance the budget. They've yet to stop the invasion. And they really have not stood up to President Barack Obama. I think they're afraid of him. I don't think. I know they're afraid of him, because what the president is doing is betraying his oath of office and breaking the law. I'm talking about immigration, but you can also make the same case for drugs. And the Constitution is very clear. When you're in that kind of situation where a president is not obeying the law or not enforcing the law, your remedies are limited. You impeach him. That's one route to go. And impeachment is like an indictment. That doesn't mean they're guilty. Or you cut off the funds. They did neither. And you can get arguments going either way. Now, the argument against impeachment, and it's not going to happen. You need votes to convict, and they don't have the votes. So, and they've more or less got burnt when they went after Clinton. They got cold feet. So they've taken impeachment off the table, and they truly have not done anything to limit the funding of the Department of Homeland Security and that part of their budget that deals with the enforcement of immigration laws. To bottom line it, the Republican Party today is not an opposition party. It doesn't mean on paper, or if you listen to them, they, for example, want to repeal Obamacare and replace it with something. I'm all for that. They also, for example, want to do fundamental tax reform, and they're in the process right now of coming up with a bill that probably will go forward next year when hopefully, in their mind, a Republican president occupies the White House to do what they think in their mind is fundamental tax reform. It is going in the right direction. And what's the but? Both parties are big government parties. They really don't want to balance the budget, but they need to, because you can't keep doing year in, year out, running massive deficits. In other words, spending exceeding total revenues by hundreds of billions of dollars, and in some years, trillions of dollars. Where a trillion is 1,000 billion. And we're headed back up to years with trillion-dollar deficits. The American people are expecting their representatives in the House and the Senate, and if a Republican is elected president, the president, to deal with this. This is a serious fundamental problem. And hopefully, it'll be discussed the next debate. It hasn't so far. And there's been little or no discussion on the immigration. There's been some brief mentions of each candidate's tax proposals, but I really don't think it's sunk in what each candidate wants to do. Hillary Clinton wants to increase taxes, increase government spending. That's the road we're on, and the American people, at least 2 out of 3, if not 3 out of 4, want a change in direction. They believe this is the wrong way, and they're right. This is the road to serfdom. They want a change. They're sick of the talk. They want action. Talk, talk, talk does not result in action, and that's what you get with divided government. And even when the Republicans control the House, the Senate, and the presidency, they did the same thing that the Democrats did when they controlled the House, the Senate, and the presidency. They went on a spending binge. You've heard of binge eating? This is binge spending. We have all the power. We're going to spend money. And I blame George Bush. He's in Dallas. Big spender. Compassionate conservative. No, he's a progressive Republican. He's a big government conservative. More accurately, he's a big government Republican progressive. And he wanted to do comprehensive immigration reform. We have a fundamental disconnect in the United States today from the leadership of both parties and the American people, where the leadership of both parties are doing the will of who the owners of this country, the people that provide massive campaign contributions to these politicians. In essence, it's not bribes, but it's very close. They're buying and paying for politicians to do their bidding. And number one on that agenda is to increase the supply of cheap, compliant labor. And what that means is either through increasing the number of legal immigrants are here or letting millions every year come into the United States that are illegals instead. In addition to that, there's no one problem. You can't just deal with one problem. And there's no magic bullet or one thing that's going to solve everything. You got to deal with immigration. You got to deal with out of control government spending. And it is out of control. When you go to roughly $10 trillion national debt, gross national debt, when Bush left to $20 trillion. In other words, you've doubled it in 8 years. And if a Republican president gets elected for 2 terms, I think it could double again. You cannot sustain that. Ultimately, what happens? The United States will default on its debt. Does that mean it won't pay its interest in principle? No, it will do that. But you will have what's called inflation. And the people that are lending money to us now, when I say us, the U.S. Treasury, the United States government, they see what's going on and they know this cannot continue. And what will they demand? They will demand higher yields, higher interest rates. Oh, we'll lend you the money, but you're going to have to pay us a lot more money in terms of the interest rate. Because with inflation, what happens then is the dollars that they get back are worth less in terms of purchasing power. So you get in a ratcheting up of interest rates, and this happens fairly quickly. In other words, we become another Greece. We're roughly somewhere in the 70% range in terms of our gross national debt to GDP, but that'll get higher and higher, over 100%. Our economy is already stagnating. A country similar to us, actually in a worse situation, is Japan. They have much higher levels of debt. And they tried to solve it by government spending. It didn't work. They have a more serious problem for the simple reason their population is getting older and older. In other words, they're not replacing their population. And many, I won't say all, but most of the European countries, also Russia and China, that is a problem. To replace your population each year, you need a replacement rate needs to be 2.1 births. In other words, a couple would need to replace them, have 2.1 births. Today, in most European countries, that is not the case. It's below 2. In some cases, it's closer to 1. That means a declining population. It also means a stagnating economy. It's not growing. If your population is not going up, it's not growing. Now, that's not an argument for letting everybody in. And I'm afraid some of the people that are in our Congress think that's the answer. Just allow a lot of people in. More people means growth. No, what you truly need is what? You need real economic growth. And how do you get that? You want business formation and investment. And business formation in the United States is down. It's called birth deaths. And that requires an environment that encourages entrepreneurs to start new businesses, because that's where the jobs are. That's where incomes are made. Businesses, to the extent that they're successful, they're selling goods and services that people want. If they're profitable, that gives them the ability to invest and make their people more productive, and that's what you want. You want to increase investment to make your people more productive, and that in turn means you can pay them more. See, these various issues that I'm talking, they're all interconnected, and you got to look at them as a whole. We're not doing that. These debates are, I've concluded, are almost useless. They simply are. At best, you get a rough general idea where the two candidates stand. The easiest way to see that is in the immigration area. Hillary wants open borders. If you can get here, you can work here. Now, she'll say, I want to secure the borders, but I've been hearing that for over 20 years. They don't secure them. Talk, talk, talk. They're all talk. They don't walk the walk. They're phonies, they're frauds, and they lie to you. And that's Hillary Clinton. And if you catch her in a lie, what does she do? She lies. That's what I've been noticing about Clinton. If anyone truly points out, Mrs. Clinton, you're lying, and here's what you said, and that's not what you just said, what does she do? She makes stuff up. She's a compulsive liar. And if you've been following WikiLeaks, one of the emails, they have the speeches that she gave to these investment bankers. And one speech, she was making the point, well, I have a public position. That's what you and I hear. And then I have a private position. Now, I call that lying and talking out of both sides of your mouth. You're not being honest with the American people. And that's the problem with Hillary Clinton. That's why I could never vote for her. She's a Democrat. The problem is I have the same problem with the Republicans. They do the same thing. The only big difference I can see, the Democrats talk progressive, the Republicans talk conservative, but they're both really progressive. They're both for big government. The only thing they argue about is the type of spending and how much. Do they care about the American people and letting them keep more of their money? Not really. Not really. And this finally has been a long way to get to the point here. Donald Trump needs to get back on message. And what that means, he needs to talk and focus on the issues that are of concern to the American people. And the American people want to keep their money, not all their money. They're willing to pay taxes. But they need to save money for what? To buy a home, to buy a car, to provide money so their children can go to college, to open a new business, and eventually retire. They need to be saving more money. And that means they need to keep the money they get, not all of it. And what I'm leading up to is we need to abolish most, I would say all, of the federal taxes that we have today. We have largely an income tax-based system. The problem with it, first of all, no one understands it. It's way too complicated. Businesses pay, and this number keeps going up, up, and up, over $500 billion just to figure out what their tax bill is. In other words, to prepare their tax returns. That's very, very inefficient. That's a waste of resources. We need to transition from, first, an income tax system that discourages hard work, discourages savings and investment. We need to abolish that with the IRS and go to a tax system that encourages what? Work, business formation, investment, savings. And there is one. And there's supporters in Congress and people across this nation that have been in favor of going to a broad-based consumption tax called the fair tax. And I'm only mentioning it because I was hoping, but it's not going to happen, or it's at least not going to happen in the next 3 weeks, 20 days. Oh, Donald Trump has a better tax plan than Hillary Clinton. That's not a high bar. And Donald Trump has at least been convinced by his economic advisors that this will grow the economy at a higher rate. And that's what we need. You need this economy to be growing at 4, 5, 6%. Historically, it's grown at 3.5%. Right now, it's lucky if it's 1%. And next week, we'll know we'll get the advance estimate for the third quarter of this year. And I think either we'll be in negative territory or probably 1% or less. That's not good, because every quarter that this continues and we're producing at less and growing at less than the 3.5% historical rate, that's all lost and never can be recovered. And over many years, that makes a huge difference in the standard of living of the American people. We've lost 8 years under Obama. We didn't have one single year at 3%. The American people know this. It needs to be emphasized. But will they truly understand it in a debate-type format? I don't really call these debates. It's really a question and answer period with a little bit of interchange. That's the way the parties want it. They agree to this. I've come to the conclusion that it's largely a waste of time. Time and money could be better spent getting your message out where you have a complete and full airing of what your positions are. The Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton don't want that, because if the American people knew what the Democratic Party wants to do, they would be rejected. So they lie about it, mislead you, misdirect you, distract you, hoping that you'll fall for their baloney, for the lies, deceits. And maybe the American people on Election Day, November 8th, that's exactly what will happen. I'm hoping that Donald Trump will spring a game changer either at the debate or immediately before or after the debate. He needs to do that because if he doesn't, he's going to lose. He doesn't like to lose, but he's going to lose. He needs something that gets all voters out to vote. And that means it's going to have to benefit them. And see, that's been the standard route of the Democratic Party for years. I call it Santa Claus socialism. Vote for me and I'm going to give you some free stuff. It's never free. You end up paying for it. But what I'm suggesting is he proposes, and I've suggested this for over a year, I say any candidate that would propose going to a broad-based consumption tax along the lines of the fair tax that has a tax prebate, that's a check from the government each month to pay the taxes on the necessities of life, in other words, make the taxes progressive up front, that together with stopping the illegal alien invasion, that is a dynamic duo that would win the election. But Donald Trump played it safe on the tax area. If you don't understand the fair tax, because I'm looking at the clock and I am out of time, just go to my companion blog, which is pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, P-R-O-N-K-P-O-P-S .wordpress.com. And I have a number of videos on the fair tax that'll fill you in on the details. You need to get a rough idea of what I'm talking about. I've given past shows, and you can Google it and find it on what my version of this, which is Fair Tax Less, which is an improvement on this. And I was hoping and praying that Donald Trump or some other candidate, unfortunately none really bit, would do this. Donald Trump needs to get the momentum back, and he has about 20 days to do it. And I think he's definitely running out of time. He has to be talking about the issues. He has to be comparing and contrasting where what he wants to do for the American people versus Hillary Clinton. And keep in mind, Hillary Clinton has the money from the donor class, and that is funding these ad campaigns. And that's what people will see on television, especially in the battleground states, the swing states, that are necessary to get the 270 electoral votes. Well, thank you for listening. I will be listening to the debate and probably have one or two shows, the next one and Fridays, dealing with it. And now, in a positive note, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by pronkpops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.